Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're going to get into all kinds of different topics. I'm going to give Jared, you guys, anybody listening, the option for the third segment. I've got two things down, both football related, and I'll let you guys pick. Mel Kiper just came out with his two-round NFL mock draft. Or, also on the ESPN website, a list of the 100 greatest college football running backs over like the past 50 or 60 years. So, those two things are on the table. Which one shall we discuss first? Didn't get to the Masters, kind of, not necessarily put a bow on the Masters, but take what happened there and extrapolate it out to the PGA in Tulsa. Like, what we saw there, and start kind of thinking about, okay, what might happen in Tulsa. From Scheffler, Cam, how will he come back from his collapse? Will Tiger play? And quite honestly, where were the big names? A bunch of those guys were not even visible on the weekend, if they were even there. A lot of big names missed the cut at the Masters this year, which isn't normally the case. The Saudi Golf League is a go. Did you happen to see Greg Norman's comments this morning?
No.
Oh, dear Lord. But some names.
I can't wait to see him now.
Some names have been named in regards to players.
He's naming names.
Yes. And I guess there's contracts. They've kind of signed guys. Very, very interesting. So it looks like that is a go with the Saudi Golf League.
Okay.
Also, some high school baseball from yesterday. We've got the Class A and B. High school baseball district sites have been announced we can go through. That's the same way with slow pitch softball that's happened as well. And then, my Lord, what is wrong with you, Minnesota? What is wrong with Minnesota?
Like in general, or the Twins, or the Vikings, or...
Or the crazy lady that tried to glue herself to the floor.
So what? This happens only in Florida. You're talking about Minnesota?
Yeah. Minnesota said, hey, Florida, hold my beer and watch this. Good grief.
Minnesota. Wow.
I mean, it's...
I'm very anxious to hear that one. Glued herself to a floor?
225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things. It has three radio stations. It's got The Penny News, brand new edition of The Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight. ThePennyNews.com is that. Check out the deals. Print edition will be coming here shortly. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV's there. We got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check us out on KADSAM.com and also on iTunes. Good morning, Jared.
Where to begin? You just list a lot of great topics.
Yeah, the one that is... the hardest to find.
What's that?
Is the Saudi thing. I saw some tweets.
Oh,
earlier.
They took it off.
Like the Golf Channel has nothing about it. Not surprising, maybe.
Yeah.
But so I have to scroll down through the Twitter sphere here to find the quotes I saw from Greg Norman. Man, baseball yesterday. You and I were in the same place last night, and following along with the game over in Clinton. Elk City and Clinton basically playing for the top spot in the district, or Clinton trying to force a tie after the 26-2 win for the Elks on Monday. Back and forth affair. Clinton was up 1-7-6 going into the sixth inning. The Elks tied it then. Caden Holder got a huge hit in the top of the seventh to score two. Clinton came back with one in the seventh, but the Elks wiggled off the hook, and they beat Clinton 9-8. Cooper Church got the win on the mound for the Elks. He also had Cash Mayfield with four RBI. I know Grady Gaunt had three hits and four plate appearances on the Clinton side. But the Elks take a huge step toward winning the district, hosting a regional tournament with that sweep of Clinton here yesterday and also on Monday.
Big step right there. Congratulations to them. That was crazy is that that game, you know, with playing in the wind, at the time there was wind. Sometime between when we went into City Hall and came out, that wind has completely died.
It was gorgeous when we got out.
I wonder when that was and if that had any effect, because I know there was a key error there in the seventh inning. Basically a pop fly. I wonder if the wind had something to do with that when you told me it was.
Yeah, he said,
you know what I mean?
It was one of those where he got to it and it just popped out of his glove.
It happens.
Like, you know, one of those.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a camped under it. I mean, it was a ball hit
running
over his head.
Yeah.
And went back and he got to the ball, but it just didn't stay in his glove.
I see. I don't know if the wind was swirling or, you know, it kind of made it the ball tail. But anyways, that was more of a game I had expected, if that makes sense, between those two teams top in the district. But now Big Elks control their destiny, basically, take care of the rest of their district games. Moving forward, they should be okay.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if they can sweep tomorrow, they got Western Heights doubleheader, which should be two easy wins.
Yeah.
Everybody else has done it in the district. So at that point, then any Weatherford loss gives the Elks the district title because they own the tiebreaker, obviously, over Clinton. Those two teams, Weatherford and Clinton, each have two losses. Clinton swept Weatherford. Elk City swept Clinton. So, I mean,
right.
It's setting up for if Weatherford was able to sweep the Elks, then you're talking about a three-way tie, and I wonder what that tiebreaker is. It's got to be that district points we talked about. Run differential there would come into play with everybody beating everybody twice. There wouldn't be any head-to-head advantage for any of those teams. So far, I mean, yesterday, you know, I agree with you 100%. That's more of the game we thought we would see.
That was such a back and forth
two games.
What was crazy was back to my win thing. I you know, just following it on online, and I thought, when I saw the runs and the back and forth, I man, the way that, you know, the way the field sets up, the wind straight out of the south, I thought there has to be a back and forth home runs. Home run here, home run. There was not one. Not one home run. Now, I didn't see how many combined hits there were. It has to be a lot. But not one home run. I figured they'd get it up in that jet stream and see.
Right.
As hard, you know, because both these teams were swinging the bat really well up into this series. So that was crazy to me. So a lot of hits in the yard, a lot of errors thrown around the yard too. So, but that was more like it between the top two teams in the district. That's what I thought we'd see.
Yeah, and so now, like I said, Western Heights is next up for the Elks tomorrow. Doubleheader there, and then the top four teams will play each other. You're going to have Elk City and Weatherford next week, Clinton and Kingfisher next week as well. So, at this point, if the Elks split with Weatherford, then there you go. They're the district champions. If Weatherford loses any other, you know, district game, the Elks will be the district champions. Otherwise, you're going to have that series is going to set up next week to kind of decide things for all three of the I-40 teams, at least here in District 4A4, and you know that carrot at the end of the season, being able to host a regional, that's such a big thing. I was going to look up where you'd go if you didn't. So I'll tell you what, I'll admit I'm not
too familiar with this playoff format because it's still relatively new, at least for me, but I'm old. So I don't know how that would line up. We'd have to go back probably last year or read the rule book and see.
I got the rule book pulled up right here. So just kind of talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, well, that's dangerous. Let me talk. So let's talk about what happened last night at City Hall. Just kidding.
Great things. I'll tell you what
happened. No, it was very productive, I think, for both sides for what happened. I think that is kind of the elephant in the room. People probably wonder why we don't talk about that. It's your show. So, you know, and you're a bigger force in that than I am. But I thought it was, you know, what we're talking about is the study session meeting that was held last night in City Hall but with the Elk City Commission and the Elk City Golf and Country Club Association. And I, you know, both sides, we got a history lesson. There's a lot, you know, I knew that there were multiple locations of where golf was played in the city, but I didn't know there's that many.
I didn't know that either.
I knew there's like two, you know, the present site and then over on Country Club.
Yeah, like where David Atkins
exactly
lived.
But I didn't know there was more than one.
I didn't know that either. That was pretty interesting. I guess one of them was actually at the bottom of Elk Lake right now.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Isn't that crazy?
There was some.
Now, I'm sure there are some golf balls in Elk Lake that came off the present course, but I wonder if there are some old ones from way back. You know what I mean? But and then, you know, then the options that were flown around with potential clubhouse and even clubhouse locations, and the clubhouse location where it looks like it will be is awesome. It's a great, it's always been central and in a good place. But always, man, how cool would that be if there's there one? I mean, they're kind of mentioning right there next to the lake. How cool would that have a cool a clubhouse that overlooked the lake? That'd be kind of different, kind of unique.
Yeah, I think you'd probably get that. Maybe.
That'd be interesting to me.
I mean, as far as...
It doesn't take you too far off the golf course. That's my only concern. Would it be too far away from the golf course proper? Because where the original golf clubhouse was, it's, you know, central.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right at the turn, and it's where typically clubhouses are.
Yeah, and you can have the beauty of that location, and with the routing right now, is, you know, there's studies out there that will tell you over the course of a year there are like 67% more rounds played on the front night. Say if somebody just wants to go out there and play nine holes,
mm-hmm.
like 67% more use of one nine than the other. And I don't remember how many years back it's been, probably a decade at least, that the nines were flipped.
Yeah.
You know, present day one was number 10 when mm-hmm. I was in high school, and in years after that,
I was around here
well.
When that flipped.
Right.
Yeah, I'm still confused by it.
And that, but the point is though, that location and the way that everything is kind of you could make the building work is where the pro shop could still see both tees. So at any point, if you wanted to flip it back because of wear
Makes
and
sense.
Tear, you know what I'm saying? You're able to do that. That was actually the first I'd heard of that. I've been in this. In these discussions for 5 years.
Oh, for what you just told me?
And that was the over there.
Oh, by the
that
lake.
That location. That's the first I've ever heard of that. That was
pretty
interesting.
You know, you've been in more of discussions than mm-hmm. I have, but you know, for what I do, I've been following the story and but that was the first, but I haven't said into these meetings with the I haven't said into those. But next to the lake, I'm a scenic kind of guy, so I thought that'd be, you know, you see some really neat clubhouses that are next to water. You know, you could have a overlook or an outdoor setting where you can go out and enjoy a after round beer or two and then overlook the lake during sunset. I mean, that kind of that's not a bad idea. Now the location, like I said, because it's off not central and you get more wear and tear on one side of the nine than the other, kind of what
well,
you mentioned.
And,
I think.
And also you got to also think about this. Where do you put the cart barns?
Yeah. You'd have to build new ones, I think.
Yeah.
Or daily drive over the cart you're renting.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That was interesting. It was an interesting thing because, like I said,
yeah.
I've been in the middle of it for 5 years and I've never, that was new to me. Now, you know, buying lots across the street from, say, number one tee box or something like that were open after the tornado
mm-hmm.
at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely, heck, we talked about that in the meetings I was in, just as a temporary solution to before mm-hmm. you could find the permanent one. But yeah, I thought it was great. There was a lot of really, really good things last night. There's no doubt about that. It was something that needed to happen, and it did. And so now, hopefully, there's going to be a resolution to that process here at some point in the nearer future than we thought.
If you weren't at the meeting, then the next question is, well, what did they approve?
Nothing.
Nothing was approved.
Nothing yet.
But it doesn't mean nothing got done.
Right.
You know, there was progress made, I thought, for both parties involved. And at the point is, we're one community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the consensus is we need a clubhouse for the betterment of the community. So that's always been the goal. And I think that is going to be the end goal, and we're going to get something out there that even if you're not a golfer, you're going to be proud of.
Yeah, and I think there was Corey and I were just talking a little bit about, you know, some of the Facebook comments that I've you know on the city's page, and somebody's talking about, you know, when they go to other cross country meets, a lot of times it's kind of on a golf course.
Really?
Yeah,
I've never thought of that.
I've been to those myself. You know, because where you need a big space of land, and you know that's an interesting, you know, caveat to the thing of you know, how do you get to, you know, more people access, I guess, or whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, for years and years, and this has been something that I don't think people almost realize. The golf course has been public the entire time. Anybody could go play it.
Mm-hmm.
Always, and quite frankly, before the tornado. You know, a lot of the members, not gripes, but concerns would be, what am I getting? Because just any old Joe can come in the bar, and that's just the way it was. I mean, I think misconception of, you know, that it wasn't a open public thing is hopefully going away a little bit with the discussions that are happening, and everyone realizes, and the thing that wasn't brought up last night that I keep telling anybody and everybody that'll listen is look at the list of people, which I am on. So full disclosure, I'm definitely one of these people. But look at the list of people that were able to, because of that golf course, continue their education into college.
Right, right.
It's an amazing amount of kids. And by the way, when you look at that list, it's not the who's who of the richest kids in town at the time. It's not even close to that. And that's something that I think gets a little bit overlooked, because I think if you really look through the history, and by the way, it's only about a 30-year history. And, you know, golf didn't start till very late 80s in Elk City as a sport for the school. And you look at that list of people that were able to go on and earn a college education because of the golf course and being able to play golf into college. It's a long list, and I mean, I'll challenge any other sport in Elk City to find a longer list in that period of time than what the golf course has.
Absolutely.
Boys and girls.
Yeah.
All of it combined. And a big part of that has been the willingness of the membership of Elk City Golf and Country Club to embrace junior golf and to embrace high school golf. I mean, I can't tell you how many, you know, I'm sure some of it was family, but how many just members of the golf course you would see at a state tournament? They're supporting us as we try to win state titles.
Yeah.
And that means more to kids than I think even those people realize.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was a good thing last night. There's no doubt about
it. I love the aspect of getting kids to school. If it's a way to get a kid to school, to college, that is, I love that. And that's a fine example. That's why I get excited when, you know, you talk to me about Canute baseball, and I'm seeing more and more kids are signing letters of intent to go play baseball at the next level, which means they're continuing their education. It's not just baseball. It's everything. It's a way that they can continue it. I'm glad towns like Elk City support whatever that is. And you're right. That's a clubhouse supports that.
Yeah, the membership is what that kind of means.
Right.
As far as just the symbol of it. Or whatever, but no, it was a great meeting. I think a lot of things were explained really simplistically, so even somebody like me can understand what they were talking about. And so I think it was a wonderful evening in that regard. And now we'll see what happens moving forward. So that was good of last night. What about the bad?
Okay, so did you find the baseball thing real quick to finish the thought? Did you?
Yes,
find
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, go for that. So explain this to us. Elk City's the good.
Okay, so essentially what you have is there's 8 districts around the state.
Right.
And see, I thought that if you won your district, you didn't have to play in by district.
No, I believe you do.
Okay, so here's what it does. So there's 8 teams in 8 districts.
Right.
All around the state. And so each what will end up being a regional starts as by district series, I guess, 2 out of 3. So like for instance, District 1, whoever wins District 1 will play whoever finishes last in District 8 in one regional. So it goes all the way down. So basically, to the point of what you would avoid. You know, if you win this district, you'll play the worst team from District 3. Okay? If you are second, then you'll play the seventh team, you know, invite, and then all the way, obviously, down.
So this district matches
sixth.
Up with District 3.
District 3.
Okay.
That's right. Now, but then when you start looking ahead to what's next, you know, if you finish fourth in this district, you know who, what, probably where you're going to go?
Tuttle.
If you finish third in this district, you know where you're probably going to go? Is it Blanchard? Are they three or are they two?
They're two.
Okay, so if you finish second in this district, you know where you're going to go?
Blanchard. Ichka. That's why last night's game was so big.
Yes. I mean, that's instead of, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there aren't good teams outside of those, but to avoid both of those teams, you know, finishing first and third kind of looks like to be a little bit of the honey hole, just as far as missing those other two with Tuttle and Blanchard. But, yeah, that's, you know, it's a big win for Elk City. There's no doubt about that. And now they just have to figure out a way to beat Western Heights twice and split with Weatherford. Obviously, you'd rather sweep, but if you don't, you got to make sure you win one. And then at that point, you're sitting in the catbird seat, looking to go into a hosting of a regional later on down the line.
Here's a fun fact. You know how many runs Western Heights have scored all season long?
Not very many.
Five. Out of nine games, by the way. They've only played nine games. Yeah.
Ooh.
Elk City better take care of business on that one. And yeah. Quickly.
Yeah, that's...
That doesn't seem like that's going to be an issue. Yeah.
Tomorrow. Doubleheader tomorrow.
Well, hopefully they don't look ahead or past them, so we'll see. No, it's... Now, speaking of playoffs, you mentioned small school district pairings have been released.
Yeah, you got... What do you got? You got it up there? I'm right here.
Yeah, load up.
I'm already there. You're too late.
Well, my computer is a lot slower than yours. Have you been on this computer?
No.
It is incredibly slow.
All right, Class B. We'll start there because it's the first one on the list.
Still loading.
Teams, let's see. Fort Cobb-Broxton, they'll host a district with Geary. Leedy hosts Beaver. Lakeba Sickles gets Lomega. Granite hosts Arnett. Sentinel will welcome Blair. Mount View Godibo's got a three-team district with Alec and also Bray Doyle. Hammond will welcome Buffalo. And Sharon Mutual to Loga. Duke will be at home against Olustee, El Dorado, and Temple. On the in Class A, which I think you mentioned this yesterday, Canute hosts Burns Flatdale City. You've also got Hydro Weekly welcoming Southwest Covenant and Thomas. Visai gets Fargo Gage Fort Supply and Ceiling at home. Arepo Butler will host Oklahoma Bible in Ringwood. Hollis, down at Hollis, it'll be Cheyenne Raiden and Geronimo against Hollis. Shattuck's at home with Boise City Felt and also Turpin. Moreland is at home against Cherokee and Garber. You got Navajo against Fletcher and Indiahoma. Is that about every? No, there's Snyder. Snyder gets Bingeroni and also Carnegie at their place. So that's kind of an idea. Do we know? These are just kind of. These are in order of the rankings, I guess, because Canute 1, Rattan 2, Red Oak 3. So that's this doesn't give us any insight into what regionals will look like, right? As far as the order, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look back. I mean, it's safe to say Canute will host a regional probably against winners. I mean, they keep it well in the name region, so you're gonna, and that's why I think we'll see a team maybe like Arapaho Butler. You know, a team I think Canute would want to avoid is Visai. Visai gave them everything they want couple of weeks ago, but I've seen Navajo in a same region with Canute.
I'm trying to remember because I know in fall ball two make it out of the regional. Is that the case here, or is it just a one team? You have to win the regional to make it to the state tournament.
I believe you have to win
the regional.
The regional.
Yeah, that's what I think.
There
so
are
too.
More teams.
That's right. Yeah, there's more teams in the spring.
In the spring,
because some of these are football playing schools, obviously, that are here. So I think that's right. When you look at, they've listed the top 32. All hosting district, which to me that means there could be four ranked teams in every regional, right? Eight team, four team regionals.
Yeah,
and then you got to win. So, but I don't believe the order of this doesn't tell us anything into where the regional would be or who that would be. But I think you're probably right. You can probably pick out a couple of those teams that you mentioned that'll be right there with Canute when we get past that into what district's what next weekend?
Next week.
Okay.
The Canute schedule has it on Tuesday. A doubleheader with Burns Flat on Tuesday.
And obviously if they split, they'd come back and play Wednesday.
Yes. And then the regional is scheduled for the 28th and 29th, and I'm assuming 30th.
With the if game. So that'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yes. And then state is the weekend after that. May 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Yeah, okay, so they're a week behind because that's the 4A would be the next week.
Correct.
They're
like basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Very exciting. I think we got a lot of good teams out here. Obviously, Oak City, Canute. I mentioned Visai. Keep an eye on Visai. Keep an eye on them. And Arapahoe Butler, they're ranked, 12? What are they ranked right now?
Yeah, Arapahoe Butler is 12th.
12th, yeah. So here we are, midway through April, and we're wrapping up spring baseball.
Yeah. Class B, Leedy, Granite, Sentinel, Mountain View, Hammond.
How did I forget them? I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Keep an eye on them. They'll be making deep runs here in the playoffs.
All right, when we come back, a little golf, and also a lady really super glued herself to the floor. All right, so the NBA playoffs kind of got started with the play-in tournament. It's still kind of weird for me to kind of wrap my brain
around how this works. Yeah, it's a format. I guess it's an expansion of playoffs. I get it. I'm still kind of trying to figure it out myself. Yeah, like, I see it like, okay, you lose, you're done. But that's not the case in this play-in tournament.
No, it's play-in. I guess that's why they don't call it play-out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So last night, Brooklyn got the win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Was it 115-108? Kyrie Irving was awesome. With 12 of 15 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3, 7 of 7 from the line. Also dished out 12 assists. Kevin Durant, 25 on 9 of 16. He also had 11 assists. Just what you'd expect out of that team. The two big guys were awesome, and they knocked off Cleveland. So Brooklyn is into the playoff bracket, and they get to play Boston. This is exciting for me. Kyrie going back to Boston with the Nets in the playoffs. This is exciting. Maybe my favorite series. So the Cavs, they're not done. They will play the winner of the Charlotte-Atlanta game tonight. Okay. So whoever wins that one, whoever loses that one is out. Whoever wins it will get to play Cleveland.
That's what was throwing me because it was 7th versus 8th.
That's right.
But they both were still alive regardless of outcome. It's just a seeding.
That's right.
So, but the 9 versus 10, loser's done. This is a
correct.
Play or go home situation.
That's right.
For tonight's games.
So I think, because people are like, well, why isn't it 7 versus 10 and 8 versus 9?
That's what throws me, yeah.
It's because the 7th and 8th guys get an extra chance. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if 7 lost to 10, they're done. If it was that way, more of like a bracket-looking style thing.
Which is what I think of when I hear of a play-in game. I think of like the NCAA.
Right.
Okay, this is just they got to play to get into the tournament.
But here's what they try to do. They try to create – because, see, okay, if they play that way, if they played 7-10 and 8-9, well, I guess you create the losers are out. But then the next game, they're just playing for a seed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now at least they're playing for a seed and – to continue their season after tonight. So Charlotte is at Cleveland, or at Atlanta, excuse me, and the winner will play Cleveland. On the other side, chaos. The Timberwolves beat the Clippers 109-104. Play-in P is better than playoff P, but he still wasn't good enough. This is just the second time in 18 years that Minnesota will be in the playoffs. which is pretty shocking. That's probably why they were celebrating as if they just won the title last night, Pat Bev being one of the main culprits in that. But, hey, let them have fun. Two times in 18 years, I don't blame them for celebrating.
Plan the parade,
whatsoever.
Man. Yeah.
Now, during the game.
Okay, we're going to Minnesota now.
Yes, Minnesota, during the game. A lady went down on the floor and tried to super glue her wrist to the floor. And apparently, at some level, got it done. And had to be pulled off the floor. And so at the time, nobody knew what was happening. And then, great job by the sideline reporter, Allie LaForce.
Wait. On the actual plane surface.
Yeah. On the court. Like, I was driving over, and I didn't have time to find this because I was doing some other things for the show. But Kevin Harlan's like, oh, no, an arena worker fell on the floor.
Yeah, you're just thinking of something bad.
Because you can hear the whistles blowing, stop the game.
Yeah.
And then as it unfolded, figured out that it was, no, that's not what happened. It was actually a lady protesting in order to stop the game.
For what reason?
I'm pulling this up. I want to get it exactly right. She came from California. A woman glued herself. This is per Allie LaForce, who was the sideline reporter at the game last night. Glued herself to the court, wore a t-shirt that said, Glenn Taylor roasts animals alive. She was referring to an egg farm in Minnesota, owned by Glenn Taylor, that had recently killed a bunch of chickens because of the bird flu outbreak that is happening presently.
Okay.
There's a lot to unpack here. Number one, do you know who Glenn Taylor is?
I just Googled him. So Glenn, now I do. He's a billionaire businessman from Minnesota.
Who used to own the Timberwolves.
For being the majority owner. Yes. Okay.
Used to. Being,
okay.
Being kind of the key phrase here. Used to.
Okay.
Because he sold out to A-Rod and that group like 7 or 8 months ago.
Right. A-Rod was there last night having fun.
Yes,
I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah.
The real owner, you know, one of the owners, not Glenn Taylor. So strike one against the glue. She actually hashtagged glue girl on her Twitter. The lady that did this.
Oh, wow. She's
trying to be famous.
There it is.
So, Glue Girl, not really up to date on the sports side of things. She missed the story 7 or 8 months ago when Glenn Taylor actually sold the team. Number two, are we really sure it's a bad thing to kill chickens with bird flu? Aren't we thinking, great job, Glenn Taylor?
Like mercy killing these chickens?
Well, we don't want the bird flu to spread. These things had the bird flu.
Right.
Aren't you supposed to, you know, get rid of them? Isn't that the go? I mean, I'm serious here.
No, yeah, you're right. I agree.
I mean, it's all fun and games till you go out and get you a package full of chicken thighs and they got bird flu in them. That ain't no good for nobody.
No.
You want to talk about inflation? When the entire country's stock of chickens is gone, that'll make things go higher. So,
yeah.
I'm thinking Glenn Taylor did the good thing here to eliminate the possibility of consuming chickens with bird flu.
Agreed.
Great job, Glenn Taylor, is what the thing should have said. So, anyhow.
Listen, this woman just wanted to trend and be popular. She didn't do any of her homework on everything that you just mentioned right there. It's just another fine example of how screwed up social media has made society. She came all the way from California.
Yeah.
To protest
something that she shouldn't have been protesting against the wrong people.
Oh, man. I wish, you know, I'm going to set it up in here where I could play clips of stuff. Like from a comedian or something. You know, the greatest comedian... what's his name? Jim Gaffigan. He always talks about food. And he talked about a lady came up to him one time when he was eating chicken. Goes, do you know what they do to those chickens? He goes, I don't know, but it's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, you know the best chickens taste? You know, the best tasting chickens?
One without the bird flu?
That's exactly the right answer. That's exactly the right answer.
She glued herself.
She tried to glue her wrist. I think she actually got it done.
How long was the delay?
Now that I cannot speak to because I was sleeping or something, but I mean, it was enough to where, I mean, the game had to stop.
And then I just, you know, go to Twitter and search Glue Girl, and all I see are people making fun of her.
Well, that's good. I have more faith in society than I thought. I was afraid it was going to be a big old praise fest.
Oh, no. It's like they're equating her as the crazy teacher on Billy Madison who put the glue on her face when the kids are outside playing dodgeball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That lady. Like, she's crazy.
About a minute and a half. Was the
this is good. This is great.
Ralph, oh dear!
When Ralph Wiggum glued his ear to his shoulder on The Simpsons, there's some funny stuff. Now this is what Twitter's intended for. Oh, you're saying, man, she shouldn't have used Elmer's. what a doofus! You know, all I want to do now is go get a chicken sandwich for lunch. That's all I want to do.
Makes me a little leery. Oh, dear.
Oh, man.
We have a theory on our text line of what was wrong with this lady.
I haven't even gone there. Let's see.
Craziness induced by the COVID vaccine.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Well, you know, stranger things have happened.
There's always that. All she's done is just what I said. I bet chicken sandwich sales go through the roof today. I bet there's a spike in them. I guarantee you. I'm going to go to my favorite venue and order a chicken sandwich. Go, sorry, we're out. Well, apparently a lot of people follow Glue Girl on Twitter.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, goodness. So the other game tonight is the...
You know what else is always out at Walmart?
What?
Our favorite ice cream.
Oh, I know.
I think we should take credit for that.
You know what we forgot to do? I was thinking about this pulling in today.
What's that?
We forgot to sample the ice cream Jimmy brought us. Remember?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
We're going to have to do that tomorrow.
You know, about 2:30 in the afternoon, I'll admit, I've been going up here and grabbing some of that ice cream and eating it.
The one that Jimmy brought?
No.
Are those still sealed?
I don't know. I haven't even, no. I don't know. I've just been getting the ones that have been opened, the Little Debbie's,
okay,
and eating those.
Well, we need to.
But like I said, every time now that I know our Walmart is, and kudos, good job, is stocking it, well, they can't keep it in stock.
There was a problem there last night. I don't know if something went off. You couldn't get into the frozen food.
Oh, that'd be a bad deal.
Yeah, there was some sort of issue there.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Know what it was. Anyway, couldn't get in there. Oh, what's the other game? San Antonio and New Orleans.
Yes.
So the winner of that one will play the Clips. And we need to effort on trying to figure out, did the Thunder officially get the 15th pick last night because the Clips lost, or could they even get into the lottery?
Again?
If the Clippers lost again, could they move even
further? Talking about possible 2 lottery picks?
I don't know if that's true or not.
Is that legal?
Well, sure it is.
Well,
I mean, due to a trade, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. Or does it lock in after the... I don't know.
I don't either.
So, go New Orleans or San Antonio, if that's the case.
I think what you'd want to see... So you'd want to see New Orleans, Atlanta. If this is true... And they could vault down the list or get a lower pick. You'd want to see New Orleans, Atlanta, or Charlotte in the playoffs. Because then that would mean that the Clippers would be able to scooch up. I don't know. I'll have to research that and figure out if that's possible.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that one out.
But I know for sure.
Definitely keep my interest in these play-in games.
Yeah, especially if that's the case.
Yeah.
I know for sure that no worse than the 15 will be the pick from the Clippers. get into the Saudi Golf League a little bit here after we kind of not rehash the Masters, but look forward coming out of the Masters. Scottie Scheffler, clearly the story as far as the positives there, winning his first green jacket, fourth win in six tournaments after never winning a PGA Tour event before. It's an incredible run he's on. One of the, I mean, it's right up there at the toward the top of the list of any hot streaks in golf history with the way he's been playing. You know, Jim alluded to this a little bit on Monday, and I think it's a great question. Is we've seen this before. I take Spieth and McIlroy kind of out of this because those guys won multiple majors. Well, Rory won like four. Yeah, I think Jordan did too, three or four. And so they, you know, they kind of continued the role. It's not like they just were flashing the pan and done. But at the same time, I think all these guys, these young guys, and anybody playing golf for the rest of time is always going to be compared to Tiger.
Yeah.
Anyone that's young, win a major, okay, how many can they get? It's not going to be the, hey, can they pass Tiger? But it's going to be, we're going to, especially for the next couple of decades, that we can remember seeing it, that's always going to be something that comes into your mind. Okay, can they kind of do what Tiger did? Mm-hmm. And to this point, no one's really been able to keep that momentum going or keep that streak of play and winning majors going nearly as long, obviously, as Tiger did, and not nearly as at the rapid succession of winning, the rapid pace of winning. Mm-hmm. So if I ask you, okay, over under two majors in the next 4 years for Scottie Scheffler, what would you say?
Counting the one you just won?
No, two more.
So two more in the next four years?
So in 5 years, you'll have three.
Yeah, I'd take the over.
See, I think a lot of people would take, after somebody wins one of these, I think a lot of people are inclined to do that because he's been playing so well.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing that the advantage that he has over a lot of these other guys is that his personal life has been settled for years.
Right, right. I've heard this. Yeah.
Meaning that, you know, he married middle school sweetheart. And so there's like this, at least, I'm not going to say it's not going to change him, but that part of it is already squared away.
The distractions are behind him, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, he's used to dealing with them, whatever they are. Yeah, I mean, not distractions, but, you know, just the right. life of a, you know, being married, a married man.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys aren't that way. And then they, as they go along, then they become that. He's already there.
Hey, I'll tell you this. Let me just throw this out there, and I don't know. Does he have kids?
I don't know the answer to that.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
But we all know how that allows you not to play golf anymore.
Just prime example.
Well, every married guy's shaking their head, even if their wife's beside them, they're not shaking their head as much.
It's not a bad thing. It's just that your focus goes towards your kids.
That's right.
Towards different things in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. But that was my question, was does he have kids? I don't know.
Or, in Tiger's case, you just don't pay attention to it. Do whatever you want. But you still play great golf. You know what I mean?
How many did Tiger win before he had his first kid?
Probably half. 97. 99, 3 in 2000.
Is Charlie as old as
2001? No, Samantha's as old as.
That's right.
2001. Then he went through a drought. No, he won the 02 Masters, 02 US Open. So that's 8. Then he didn't win again until the 05 Masters. So I wonder when she was born. Let's see. At 50, she'd be 16. I bet that's close. But she's close to right in there, 05. You know, she looks, I mean, in that teenage years, teenage girl for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So some, you know, probably half, because he's got 15. That's 8 of them right there before 05. And then he won, what, 2 then, or the Masters and British. Anyway, at St. Andrews. So he's right in that, you know, at most probably 10 before, 5 after. But you also got to remember, you know, before he was playing every one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And starting in after the US Open in 08, when he played on the fractured leg or whatever and won. From that point on, he's missed a ton of those things because of injury. So, you know, it's not the same sample size, and, you know, there's a lot of things going on there over the past decade or so in his personal life. But, you know, I think the natural inclination would be, yeah, Scheffler's going to win another couple of these. We'll see. But I think he's set that way. Where were the big names at, man? I mean, when you look at the final leaderboard, you know, you got Scheffler, then you got Morikawa and McIlroy. They're all up there. But truth be told, those guys were nowhere near the story until the story was written. Mm-hmm. And even then, they had zero chance to win. It was just that some other guys fell down the board and they ended up more toward the top. But, you know, Scheffler, honestly, how big a name is he? There's no doubt he's playing the best golf, but, I mean, how many people know who that is? So he's the best player in the world right now, but I don't know that I consider him a big name still. You know what I mean? It's so weird to say that about a guy that's played so great, but I mean, he's not moving any needle as far as, you know, Southern Hills. Scotty Scheffler winning isn't going to get a whole bunch more people going to watch the PGA, right?
Right.
You know, it's not like a Tiger or whoever. Or, I mean, a bunch of these young stars, Justin Thomas or a Spieth, or, you know, where were those guys? I mean, they were on the periphery, I guess, where you thought, okay, if they make a, you know, if Justin Thomas shoots 63 on Sunday, he can get himself into it or whatever. That didn't happen. But then, you know, the Shoffleys, Rahm was nowhere to be found, even though he made the cut. He was nowhere on any of the coverage. Spieth didn't make the cut. You know, it was a weird Masters where, you know, a lot of times of all the majors, Augusta brings the cream to the top year after year after year. You don't see just a ton of surprise winners.
Well, let me ask you, do you think the weather had anything to do with that? You know, pretty breezy, windy. Maybe cooler than most years. I mean, some of these guys, and Jim has noted this over and over again, some of these guys just don't play good in the wind. You know, and he said, guys who play good in the wind could have an opportunity here. Victor Hovland, one of them.
Speaking of, nowhere to be found.
Yeah, but question is, could that be a part of it?
It sure could. And here's the truth, though. Outside of maybe Justin Thomas, a lot of these guys haven't been playing very good.
No, that's true, too.
Going into it. Now, sometimes that doesn't matter because they get back and, you know, there's just that feel about Augusta National, and they're so used to playing it, they know how to play it, that, you know, a lot of times that doesn't necessarily matter, like what their form is, because they kind of gain it as they move along. It just didn't happen this time. And so you end up with a bunch of guys that you're not really used to seeing at the top of that leaderboard. What do you think about Cam? You know, I think it could be argued that Jordan Spieth's collapse on 12 at the 2016 Masters, 2016, when he stood on the tee with a big lead and blew it to Danny Willett. I think you could argue that was the beginning of what we're seeing now. And that he's never quite shaken those demons all the way out. What about Cam? You know, Rory blew the Masters in 2010 with a 4-shot lead on 10 and turned right around and killed everybody at the U.S. Open at Congressional.
True.
You see that in Cam, or do you see more of the Jordan Spieth side?
I think he bounces back. I think the Masters, I think the moment might have been almost too big. That's the biggest. I mean, he was right there on a Sunday, paired, in the final pairings. I think that then I think that's a thing, man. I think it got in his head. It's like, okay, I experienced it. I can move on. I could win at a high level. And I bet you right now he's already anxious to get back to Augusta next year. So I think he'll be fine. I don't think it's something like we've seen with Spieth. I think Spieth is more of a head case. I mean, the way I approach Cam Smith, the way I see him is he's just more, I mean, his style, he's from Australia. He kind of has this, you know, I get my haircut once a month look on him, you know, and the mustache and all that. I think that speaks to me a lot of this guy's approach to the game. And I think it's like, okay, I had a bad day. I'm not going to let it define my career.
Yeah, and quite honestly, just hit a bad shot that compounded into some more bad ones. But
right.
I think that may be right. He seems like the type of guy that that could kind of just let it, just kind of brush it off his shoulder and move on, and we might see something special from him at Tulsa.
Yeah.
Let's not even go to, will Tiger play or not? I mean, we'll find out. What about the Saudi golf?
I've seen on May 10th, start looking at flight tracker and see if planes are coming from Florida to Tulsa. That's because that's about the time frame it took from when he went to, you know, that
to see
days.
If he could do it, start getting kind of ramped up.
Yeah, might take a private flight to Southern Hills just to walk.
So it's come out today. Oh, gosh. Some of the names that have committed to the Saudi Golf League.
Okay.
Poulter and Westwood, which I think if anyone's paid attention to this, you know those two names have been out there for sure. A couple others that came out this morning, Kevin Na, and probably the headliner, Bubba Watson.
Oh, Bubba.
Bubba Watson. Those four were the four of the names I saw. Greg Norman, I mean, just in a ridiculous statement, basically said, in order not to overshadow the Masters, they decided to wait till today to kind of make a statement that this thing is on. I mean, come on, bro. Are we worried about the Saudi tour announcement overshadowing the Masters?
No. The Masters would have overshadowed that announcement.
That's why they waited to now.
Yeah.
That's exactly why. Another cool, and I want to get into this tomorrow. I've seen this story before a little bit from, I think it was Golf Week. No, Golf Digest. You know who Morgan Hoffman is?
No.
Because Morgan Hoffman was one of the really bright, up-and-coming young stars. Played at OSU for his college golf. I mean, he was one of those, like Ricky Fowler, they may have even been on the same team back then. He may have been just a little bit after Ricky. Anyway, came out on tour, and he's teeing off tomorrow for the first time in like 3 years in a PGA Tour event. And he went to Costa Rica.
Okay.
To try to relieve his muscular dystrophy.
To do what now?
Relieve his muscular dystrophy injury.
Oh, okay.
And this is an amazing. I want you to read it. It's in Golf Digest.
Okay.
It's just a crazy. It's an awesome story. We need to talk about a little bit tomorrow because he'll be teeing off at Harbortown in South Carolina at the tournament this week.
Cool.
For the first time in I think it's almost 3 years since he's teed it up in a tour event. But he was. I mean, he's like. I mean, you know, we're seeing what Matthew Wolf is doing right now, struggling mentally. Just happened to be another guy from OSU, which is kind of ironic, but not connected or anything like that. But it's like him. I mean, that's what Morgan Hoffman was that type of guy coming out of college, the next guy, the Hovland. I mean, all those guys, Morikawa or whatever. He was kind of on that level coming out of college and played some and had varying degrees of success, and then all of a sudden – like, where is this dude? And now this story in Golf Digest tells you. It's pretty fascinating.
I got some potentially breaking news. Probably not very surprising, but the XFL's announced their 8 head coaches today.
Oh, really?
As of like a few minutes
ago.
Did
I see that? Okay, wait a minute.
And guess who's...
Is that what I saw Bob Stoops' name?
He is going to be a coach. It doesn't name what team each coach will be coaching. I'm assuming it's going to be a team in the Metroplex, Dallas Metroplex.
Okay, but when I was firing down that list trying to find the Greg Norman quote exactly, I saw his name on some list.
Yeah, I guess The Rock went on ESPN this morning on Get Up, and he's announced the 8 coaches. Wade Phillips is in there. Who other people stand out? Hines Ward, Rod Woodson. You have to find the list. But Bob Stoops is – I guess he likes that idea of just – not have, you know.
Here it is right here.
I think he was having fun until it shut down. Mm-hmm. I think he's all about it.
Yeah, Wade and Phillips.
Who wouldn't want to work for The Rock?
If you smell. Wade Phillips, Bob Stoops, Terrell Buckley, Hines Ward, Rod Woodson, Reggie Barlow, Anthony Beck, and Jim Haslett. O'Neill's Daniel Garcia Company and The Rock from Get Up This Morning. the 8 head coaches of the return of the XFL 2023.
Which has more of a partnership with the NFL, and it's kind of what we sensed the first, or I guess the second go-round a few years ago. We kind of thought, man, that might be a development league for the NFL, and it looks like that's what The Rock's plan here is.
That's the only way it's going to work. You can't butt up against the NFL. You get crushed because the NFL crushes everything.
And then eventually they'll just buy him out, and The Rock will be that much more richer.
Yeah, I mean it's a little. I mean it's just a way to develop more and more guys that maybe aren't drafted and that sort of thing. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.